This is a very challenging moment with great risks and stakes for everybody.
That's the voice of John Kerry, the new Secretary of State, talking about the treacherous game of my nuke is bigger than yours, and how about I finally have one? That would be Ahmadinejad, who swears it's only for power. That's why they're getting uranium enrichment. It's only about nuclear power, baloney. So now we're calling Ahmadinejad's bluff, or are we? The bottom line is that's up to Kerry and 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and ultimately, if this thing progresses, could be Congress involved. So while we have no plans to arm the Syrian rebels, we're trying to think of plans to do something to fend off the possibility of a nuclear weapon for Iran. In the meantime, North Korea is playing the bully, threatening to end what has been forever peace. If you go back to 1953, the agreement to nullify the armistice agreement that ended the Korean War. Can you imagine 60 years, for decades, North and South Korea have technically been at war, but the Civil War ended in a truce rather than a peace treaty. Pyongyang's rhetoric has ratcheted up, and the U.S. is saying that the sanctions have to get tougher, that we can no longer stand by. China, what will you do? Because China has a big stake in this game based on North Korea and what North Korea and North Koreans rely on. South Korea is warning that it would strongly respond to any attack from North Korea. So there's more than rumblings, I think, in the Asia-Pacific region, and also in the Middle East with Iran. If we go to Venezuela, the big news is that the Venezuelan leader Hugo Chavez has died, 58 years old, 2 years dealing with cancer, 14 years as the dictator in that country, dictator of supposedly a socialist regime. A lot of people have praise for Hugo Chavez, including former President Jimmy Carter and actors like Sean Penn, who says he's a hero, or film director Oliver Stone. I guess they never really took a tour in the unmarked areas to see how the people are treated. While in office, Chavez amassed, along with his brother, $2 billion. $2 billion. So it's 7 days of mourning, a funeral on Friday, 30 days to an election. 30 days till somebody steps into the shoes of Hugo Chavez. Coming up on this Hour of America tonight, besides Hugo Chavez, we have other things to talk about closer to home, including this story that is just bugs me to no end. And maybe it's because I've been to the White House a couple of different times, and I know how much that means to people to go and visit, thinking of the history, and there is plenty of it there. They have to go and see a congressman or a senator and get tickets to the White House. But the White House is saying, thanks to the sequester, no thanks. Starting next week, next weekend, we will no longer have tours that will go through the White House because we can't afford it, basically. So we're shutting down the White House tours, and we'll eventually open them back up. Eventually. Well, we think they'll eventually open them back up. I shouldn't really say that. I believe it's going to happen. But the White House tours, wow. How low can you go to try to take a swing at the Republicans? That makes no sense to me. It makes no sense. The tax dollars that are part of the White House, so to shut down the White House Visitor Center, and that's what they're going to do, it's because they're saying it would cost too much money because of the automatic across-the-board spending cuts, and this is what, you know, this is what we're going to do. We're going to cancel them because we had to have staff reductions. Oh, my, the history. It's our house. Everybody should be welcome at the White House. So when are they going to open it up? Even Michelle Obama got into the action. She said the White House was the people's house, and it's a place that has all this history, but it's a place where everyone should feel welcome, and that's why she says, my husband and I have made it our mission to open up the house to as many people as we can. Many people as we can. So as for right now, it just looks like a childish, ridiculous act. Oh, let's save a little money this way. We're going to shut down the White House tours. And think of all those people who have been waiting for however long to come and tour the White House. They're not going to be touring the White House anytime soon with maneuverings like that one. Wow. Of all the things that have happened out of D.C., and it's probably because I've been there a couple times, wow, closing the tours, that is a low blow. Low blow. In the meantime, the other big buzz across the nation is whether or not CPR should have been performed on a woman in an assisted living place who didn't want to have CPR. But the questions abound, and there's not as many answers. Lorraine Bayless, 87, died despite a 911 operator's pleas with a staff member with CPR training to perform the procedure on the person who had stopped breathing. The reason they decided to do that is because at Glenwood Gardens in Bakersfield, California, they said they had a policy against its employees providing medical care. So this is more to the Good Samaritan laws that are on the books across the country. The average person, you know, are they protected or not? The family says that they're satisfied with the care she got. She didn't want to be revived. She didn't want CPR, so it's okay with them. But it's not okay with the living, the assisted living place, because they want to pursue it, and they are pursuing it. Wow. So the 911 request for perform CPR didn't happen. And she was alive when she was alive while they were screaming out and calling, you know, 911, and no CPR was performed. Whew. You think of the medical ethics involved, the points of view. No wonder why this is the biggest buzz in the country. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what Pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
March into Big Spring Preparedness Savings this month at BePrepared.com. Going on now. Emergency Essentials and BePrepared.com save you 28% off your favorite beef and chicken combo entrees. Save 24% on number 10 cans of freeze-dried raspberries. Or save 26% on our freeze-dried strawberry slices with purchase of 12 or more. Katadyn Pocket Micro Water Filters are 27% off. Try our fruit-flavored HydroPack Combo Water Filtering Pouches. In March, buy 5 10-packs for a 50% discount. Stock up on wheat with a year's supply of grains for $70 off only at BePrepared.com. And this month, power up with a Goal Zero Sherpa 50 solar powered recharging kit at $110 off MSRP, and we'll throw in a free $50 emergency essentials gift card. The March sale ends March 31st at BePrepared.com. For contents and details, call Emergency Essentials at 800-999-1863 or click BePrepared.com. The choice is clear: be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
It was Captain from Cool Hand Luke who said, "What we've got here is failure to communicate." We certainly do. We have a lot of failures to communicate when it comes to the blowback over the sequester. I mentioned the one little tantrum, the White House tours being stopped, then the terse release about, sorry, that this is the people's house and they can't be here, it's because of the sequester. It's just a way to take aim and fire against Congress. But, you know, I think now that we've all been beaten up so much, we just don't care. We don't want to hear the bickering of one branch against another. When what we clearly see as Americans looking up is not a decisive government, but a divisive government, and that's too bad, because we still live in the greatest country on the face of the earth, and by all means, it's time to belly up to the bar and protect some of those freedoms and rights that we enjoy simply by engaging your congressperson or senator, letting them know how you feel about some of the things that they've decided to do and some of the things that really shouldn't have been done. All you need is 25, and you got a game, because then whoever you're calling, they're going to pay attention. Start a phone tree, something to change the thinking in Washington. Speaking of changing your mind, some pocket knives and some other sporting equipment that's been banned from planes since 9/11 now is going to be allowed on U.S. planes. This is a big story because you can imagine how many things get taken away from people. Now they're saying small knives, the TSA is saying, that are, you know, blades that are 6 centimeters, I've explained before, or shorter and less than a half inch wide, are going to be allowed on airline flights as long as it's not fixed or it doesn't lock or any of that kind of stuff. But also, 2 golf clubs, toy bats, or other sports sticks, ski poles, hockey sticks, lacrosse sticks, pool cues are all allowed on carry-on luggage. John Pistoli, who is the transportation security head, said the changes kick in April 25th, and now we're going to be aligned with international rules. I mean, now we've got the reinforced cockpit doors, there's better intelligence, and I think passengers are more motivated. Somebody tries something, everybody jumps up to try to stop them immediately. And they want to make sure they don't let anything slip through the cracks. So the TSA, after the 9/11 attacks, stopped a wide range of things from happening, but gradually it's been reinducing some banned things like cigarette lighters and matches and all that kind of stuff. The TSA has an expanded list. I was actually looking at the list today. I guess we get lulled into perhaps a false sense of security, and that's why it's interesting to note, to look, and to see where we're at, because now we know you have a recourse should you want a recourse for what's being carried on the plane. I mean, I don't know. People, are they more prepared? It seems as though people are more prepared to jump up and do what they have to do if the unthinkable happens or someone pulls some nonsense. And you can tell that because of some of the people who have been wrapped up by passengers in situations like the ones I just mentioned. All right, this is coming out of the woodwork, and it has to do with the woman behind Yahoo, or the CEO, who said she didn't want anyone to work from home, that they had to come into the office, and people gasped. Come into the office? What, are you kidding me? And now it's not cherry-picked. Pretty much across the board, people have to come in, and this CEO, Marissa Mayer, could have set a new kind of trend. There's all kinds of statistics on it, but the one that I saw was 75% of the people are that much more effective by having their own hours. Best Buy is ending its flexible work program, and there are others who are considering doing the same thing. Best Buy says, "We believe in employee flexibility, but we're looking for it to come in the context of a conversation between the employee and their manager." So Best Buy, not wanting to have any kind of telecommuting anymore, doing the same thing that they're doing at Yahoo and hoping they're going to be able to find some money out of there. Boy, that's tough. Imagine the people who just got jobs, because there are so many people that are unemployed that find themselves in that situation, without a doubt. By the way, Allie sent me this note, and Allie says, "Hello, Ms. Delaney. I heard you talking a couple of days ago about Marissa Mayer. She is somebody who is setting a trend. Just a week after the Yahoo CEO banned telecommuting at a program, it's been interesting to see what the reaction has been to so many other companies thinking that this is a way they could save money. Maybe people are more social, but in a sense happier because they're not working by themselves." I don't know. I think it's a tricky question to navigate, because there's women who just have babies who would kill for that opportunity. I think to be able to do that, it'd be so much easier to not have to struggle with a baby and getting in and dropping them at a babysitter and all this other stuff. So with Yahoo, now they're going to have to make sure, I mean, they don't have to do anything, but I would assume they'd have to make sure they have a really good daycare on site so that the parents can drop the kids and then go on about their business and go back to work or stay out of work or do whatever it is that they ultimately have to do. So, speaking of having to do stuff, I'm sure in parts of the Northeast, and they're talking about power outages in North Carolina, West Virginia, the District of Columbia, Maryland, and Virginia, I'm certain that Congress will take advantage of the snow day, and probably very few will come in, but that's okay, because if you look at the strength of the storm and what's happening, it would be very dangerous for a lot of those people to just take to the roadways, like in 95. I keep using 95 because that's close to the house, or others that are equally in the throes of a similar situation. I find it interesting to see if enough people are going to jump on the bandwagon that telecommuting becomes a no-no, and people in these various industries go back to what they were doing, and that was socializing at work. Hey, you want to go to lunch? Where are we going to lunch? It starts at 11. Everybody calls around, sends an email. Where do you want to go to lunch? What time? I'm going to ride with them. You can ride with them. So that's what you do get when you work in the same office. People who scurry to take that mental break at lunch or wherever versus working from home, where you still have, I think, just as many struggles, but you can get more done, and a lot of times I would assume, and I saw some statistics to that effect, that women are more prevalent now than ever and, you know, willing to do what it takes. So bringing them all back into the office, and then even if dispersing them eventually, it's a smart, smart move by Yahoo to get a lot of different input before making a final decision. And Best Buy is the example we keep giving, but Best Buy has fallen on really hard times, and they brought in, you know, they recently brought in a new CEO, so they're trying to do the same thing in a sense, only it's Best Buy that Marissa Mayer has done for Yahoo. But a lot of people don't like the idea of having to come in after they've been off for so bloody long. We're kicking the can down the road. Keep it here and you can join us.
My name is Stephen Huer. After 22 years of nutritional counseling, I've observed that most brain malfunctions have at their roots some form of toxicity and brain damage. So whether it is poor memory, poor focus, lack of creative thinking, or more serious matters like inability to focus, speak normally, or remember things, the emphasis to getting one's brain working optimally needs to be on detoxification. One World Way supports your body's number one means of detoxification, which is glutathione production.
My name is Angie, and my son has suffered from borderline autism and constipation. I got him on One World Way, and in 2 months, his constipation is gone. He has become friendlier. He can carry on a normal conversation with me, and he has made his first friend. He's doing great, and he looks forward to taking One World Way every day. You could offer him a present or a cake, and he would prefer the One World Way.
Go to OneWorldWay.com. That's OneWorldWHEY.com. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey water filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
I lost 18 pounds in just 4 days. Want to know how? Hi, I'm James Zetta. If you're like me, you've already tried and failed at many diet and weight loss plans. But if you still need and want to lose weight, if you're searching for a simple, safe, healthy approach to lose weight that is extremely easy to follow, listen to this. The 18 and 4 weight loss plan requires no exercising, no diet pills or additives, no laxatives, no meal replacements, and no diet drinks. The 18 and 4 program can help you lose 10, 20, 30 pounds or more, and it fits both men and women of all ages. The 18 and 4 program is crystal clear with a day-to-day, step-by-step, and meal-to-meal guide. And the best part? If you're not satisfied with your results, I will give you my 30-day full money-back guarantee. This program has helped thousands lose 18 pounds in 4 days, and it can do the same for you. Go to 18and4.com. That's the number 18, I-N, the number 4.com. 18and4.com. Easy to download, easy to start losing weight today with 18and4.com.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
We're coming up on a very big anniversary. Did you know or did you realize that this March 19th, it'll be 10 years to the day, no kidding, that we had the invasion, the initial invasion of Iraq by coalition forces and, of course, to overthrow, dethrone, whatever you want to call it, Saddam Hussein. And remember what happened afterwards, as it has been chronicled. Lots of disorder, management, leadership that was wrought with holes like Swiss cheese, a lot of confusion, if you remember. Pleased to welcome to the show Colonel Ted Spain. He was the commanding officer of the 18th Military Police Brigade, caught right in the middle of this firestorm, this turmoil when it all happened, and didn't have a lot of resources to try to get some order, some semblance, some balance to what was chaos among the people that he was trying to help, obviously. Colonel, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you again for the invitation. I appreciate it, ma'am.
And you talk about this in your book, too, by the way, Breaking Iraq, the 10 Mistakes That Broke Iraq. Take us back to the day and what that was like once you were boots on the ground and you were handling pretty much what was left and, as we described it, the chaos that ensued. What were your initial thoughts when all of this was happening?
Well, actually, it started during the planning phases in Kuwait. Of course, planning every stage of the invasion, going through the breach lanes into Iraq. And then, of course, we had to make our way to Baghdad. So from the planning perspective, myself and others were focused almost entirely on, of course, winning the ground war. But once we had liberated the Iraqi people and gone into the capital, we basically were caught short with the type of forces that we needed, of course, that partly being military police. During the ground war, really the biggest impact was we couldn't control the routes. That led to, in my opinion, the capture and the murder of several soldiers that were with Jessica Lynch. That would have been my mission, to control the routes. I didn't have adequate military police for that. Pretty much during the ground war, we were tied up with handling the enemy prisoners of war and trying to get some of the critical convoys up forward. But the chaos actually broke out once we went into Baghdad and, of course, the looting and such that you saw on TV.
Yeah, so when all that was going on, was it kind of in a different way, like a triage unit? You were just trying to plug the gaps, trying to put guys where you could, trying to figure out what, you know, who can we rescue, how can we get this all in order? I mean, because you then had to be right in the middle of that chess game. What did you do to try to smooth things out? How did you try to make sense of it?
Well, I was in the middle. You can't really appreciate the size of Baghdad by watching it on TV. It's absolutely huge city. It had 6 million people in it. Now, there's only 18 states in the entire United States. It's got 18 million people, to put it in the right context. So, to be quite honest, we didn't have the adequate assets to even control the looting. It just, there just wasn't enough soldiers. We went in with the amount of soldiers necessary to win the ground war without an adequate plan on what we were going to do with it once we occupied it. That's really where the title of the book came from. As you know, General Colin Powell referred to it as, we broke Iraq without a plan to put it back together. That's where we got the title from. Just like in gift shops, when you go in, you see signs that says, if you break it, you own it. And that's really what my issue was, that, well, we broke it, we owned it, but we really didn't have an adequate plan for local police. My book, Breaking Iraq, is focused on the inability to establish a local police force, which is critical in Iraq, just as it is where you live.
Yeah, and do you attribute that partially to poor politics and bad leadership, or what?
My personal opinion is we were in the process of transforming to the military, where we wanted a quicker and more agile military, and that worked very well during the ground war. But it just didn't give us the assets that we needed to control it. And as you know, General Shinseki, the chief of staff of the Army at the time, was heavily criticized. He recommended a number of somewhere around 500,000 soldiers. And we went in, I believe, with around 160,000.
Wow. Yeah. Again, it just brings back those memories, as you say, what we were starting to learn. And, of course, Baghdad was constantly on fire, as you say, you know, 6 million people and how big it was. So you were also had to be worried about all the fires, all the chaos, all the insurgency. That was obviously, you were literally putting out fires at times, weren't you?
Well, yes, ma'am. Initially, that's an interesting question you have. Initially, the streets were bare, and once we established ourselves in Baghdad, and after the initial looting, there was periods of time that you could literally be riding the streets with no other vehicles out there. Everybody went into their homes, and they really were waiting to see, you know, what we were going to do next. And progress, quite honestly, in my opinion, was measured by the amount of traffic. I considered that to be successful as we received more, as we saw more and more vehicles on the streets. The looting was over. I'll be honest with you, I witnessed a lot of the looting, and given what we were doing at the time while we were trying to establish security, we just really did not get involved in the looting. It didn't play very well, I realize, on TV. We were heavily criticized. I was heavily criticized, and you're probably aware of, as I talk about in my book, Ambassador Bremer, there was confusion about it. It was put out that he had given an order to shoot the looters. I actually heard about that while I was out on the street. Ironically, with Tom Ricks was with me that day. I was out on the street, and Tom Ricks asked me about if I'd heard the order to shoot the looters. I called back to my headquarters to make sure they understood that we would not shoot any looters until I heard that from a general that I worked for. And it all turned out to be a misunderstanding, and I'm thankful every day that we did not shoot any of the looters.
Yeah. What general were you under, Colonel?
I had lots of them, and I talk about that in the book. It depends on which day. I worked for General Sanchez. I talk about General Sanchez. There's an entire chapter about General Sanchez and his leadership, quite honestly, his lack of leadership. I also answered to General Dempsey. It was a division commander at the time. He's currently the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And then I had my normal boss, who was General Wojciechowski, and also worked for General Scaparotti, who was an assistant to General Dempsey. So it depends on which day.
Yeah. Yeah, Dempsey.
That's just military bosses. I haven't talked about the civilian bosses, with them, starting with Ambassador Bremer and going down to Bernie Kerik. I have a chapter in my book about Bernie Kerik, who, of course, was the New York City Police Commissioner on 9/11, and he was brought in to help with established security. But as I said in the book, that didn't work out very well.
Yeah, New York a little bit different, obviously, and it didn't translate. But General Dempsey, who, as you said, now joined Chiefs of Staff, how would you rate him? Do you think he did a pretty good job, or was it kind of the same thing as General Sanchez?
Completely different. Opposite ends. General Dempsey guided. General Wallace, actually, as you may recall, General Wallace was our commander initially. He was pulled out because of a comment that he made, which was a true statement that he made to the media. And he was pitted against Secretary Rumsfeld, so he was removed and replaced with General Sanchez. But General Wallace fully understood that we were in something other than war. So General Wallace, General Dempsey certainly got it. General Sanchez never did get it. The combat arms generals, they're good at winning the war. But as I said at the time, you know, we've won the war, now we got to win the peace. And we really never did win the peace during my time.
Yeah, and talk about winning the peace. When the photos broke of Abu Ghraib, you remember that and what that was like? Because, of course, what a firestorm that started worldwide, obviously there, too, as well, right?
Yes, ma'am. We were scheduled to leave. We were scheduled to rotate out. Our time was up. We were going to be leaving the first week of February of 2004, and it was the second week of January. Obviously, I had inside connections, knew some of the criminal investigators, and I was told the second week of January that there was pictures of detainees being abused over at Abu Ghraib. I actually had opened Abu Ghraib prison, and I talked in the book about that. I handed that mission over to the former General Kopensky about the third week of June of 03. So I was completely disturbed. That's another example of a leadership breakdown right there.
Right, of not realizing what was going on. And, of course, the torture cells and whatnot, and then ultimately what became of that. Do you think the people, as you were there and watching all this, do you think the people appreciated what at least we were trying to do, what you were trying to do and what others were trying to do with the military police brigade?
Yes, ma'am. During the ground war, you know, there's been a lot of talk about, well, I thought you were going to be treated as liberators. We were treated as liberators. People did rush out and to give us flowers, and I talk about in the book, I've got a little handmade cross that a kid about 13, 14 years old, his only possession he had, and he gave me that and to thank me for his freedom. So we had a lot of that. I personally believe that as the days progressed on and the violence increased and some of the raids that were taking place in the houses and stuff, we created some of those problems because we just simply didn't understand our culture. And the senior leadership over there, military and civilians, just really didn't appreciate the importance. They did later, after I retired, around 2006, 2007, they got it. They created a three-star position that had oversight over the police and the Army. And then, of course, General Petraeus went back in, and I was with him the first time, but he went back in, and he understood it and started getting things back in order. But, you know, I was on the streets every day with the Iraqi people and Iraqi business people. And they are just, I talk in the book about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And they are just like us. We want security. You want to feel secure. When you call 911, that's the 911. That's the local police that comes to your house. It's not the Army. And I just was a failure at getting the right emphasis placed on standing up a legitimate police force.
Yeah. Wow, interesting stuff. We just scratched the surface. Colonel Ted Spain, Breaking Iraq, the 10 Mistakes That Broke Iraq. Thanks so much for coming on the show, and we hope to talk to you down the line. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, ma'am.
What's better than Mountain House freeze-dried food? Buckets of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Now the freeze-dried guy introduces convenient, easy-to-store Mountain House survival buckets filled with our top-selling items. Each item is sealed in a Mylar-type pouch, and each pouch is neatly packed in clear buckets so you can easily see the contents inside. These Mountain House survival buckets come with well over a 25-year shelf life and are perfect for emergency preparedness, camping, backpacking, or at-home use. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on freeze-dried foods, and choose our 12-month, 6-month, 3-month, 1-month, or 7-day Mountain House Survival Bucket with 32 generous servings starting at just $69.95. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
We travel so much, and having a fake TV, well, it gives added peace of mind.
Burglars look for houses that appear to be easy targets. But fake TV can fool even professional burglars into thinking someone is home watching television.
As a recent widow living alone, it gives me great peace of mind to set my fake TV near a window and know that passing motorists and pedestrians will think someone is home watching TV when I'm actually away from home.
Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet, just like a light on a timer.
And they're so easy to use. You just plug them in and they're ready to go. Plus, they're so affordable that we have one upstairs and downstairs.
Fake TV is only $34.95. Order your fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV. The burglar deterrent.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This, the Hawaii State Senate passed a bill that's seeking to protect celebrities from paparazzi. It's called the Steven Tyler Act, and it would create a civil violation if people take unwanted photos or videos of other people in their private moments. The rock star, who you just heard from Massachusetts, asked Senator English to sponsor the legislation after unwanted photos were taken of him last December in Maui. So guess what? This is a layup thing to vote on, right? 23 of 25 of the state Senate folks voted in favor of the bill. It goes to the House. It's probably going to get approved. And how about that? Steven Tyler has legislation now named after him. That wasn't part of what you emailed me about. I always invite you to throw in your 2 cents by picking up the phone at 855-266-5283. But a lot of you definitely went to snail mail when you heard about Hugo the Butcher Chavez dying. So without further ado, let's head to the mail room.
You have mail, mistress.
Yeah, this one from Joe in Illinois, who says, Katie Kate, Hugo is dead, and that's a good thing, even though as I flip across the cable channels and listen to the puppets speak, they warn that something worse could jump in place of Chavez. Really? Well, of course, it's an open seat, and who knows? Dealing with a country that's just been through 14 years of Chavez, who said he was about poor people, for poor people, helping the middle class, helping poor people, and didn't do that. He amassed a $2 billion fortune, so, and he also threatened people. It was a state-run news agency. It's a dictatorship. It was a socialistic dictatorship with the emphasis on dictatorship. So now that Chavez is going to be buried, and there's 30 days until an election, sure, I mean, I'll acquiesce and say, yeah, you could get somebody worse than Chavez. Of course, could. That's the great big if question. But doubtful. The scale is really tipped in favor of he was pretty bad. He was pretty bad. Except for that he had such a stranglehold on the people, there wasn't any kind of massive uprisings. There was one time they tried to get rid of Chavez, and that was at least 10 years ago. And he certainly has a list of massive enemies or people that wanted to do him in, but they didn't have any luck. So now he's gone. So what happens and who steps in his place in 30 days, you know, we'll find out. But they'd have to be somebody with some massive persuasive powers to get people to rally behind them, I would think. The interim guy, some people like the interim guy, he says he doesn't want to run, so that's unlikely that it's unlikely that he would be the person that, you know, would step into the shoes of Chavez, and I think we're just starting to hear some of the names, and I'm not familiar with any of them. We'll do more research on it, but nobody massively popular in the Western world, the name anyway, is coming out of any sort of a list. Some of them are sort of labor leaders, one guy, but I think it's kind of an eeny, meeny, miny, moe deal, and we'll see if it's somebody, you know, if it's somebody else and we're treading water in a different direction. You know, is the U.S. better off without Chavez or with him? I'm going to say better off without Chavez. You know, absolutely. He comes along at a time in history. He came along that he had massive charisma for some, which is why idiots like Sean Penn say, oh, it's, you know, tremendous loss, and he was a hero to the poor people. He wasn't any hero to the poor people. Are you kidding me? Not at all. Not at all. We'll see. All right, let's move on to this question that comes to us from Adam. And Adam says, Kate, this is the first time I've emailed the show. I know you know about Chavez dying. I think you've talked about going to Venezuela. And, you know, I read somewhere that two Americans already have been kicked out of the country. They were accused of causing some sort of problem after the announcement of the death of Hugo Chavez. And I'm wondering about this interim guy. Well, the acting president is Nicolas Maduro, and Maduro is just a guy who ran a labor union. He was a bus operator in his early days, and he was appointed by Hugo Chavez. So he's the stopgap, and he may emerge as somebody that people want to vote for, but he's saying he's not running for anything. That he's not gonna do it. So who? It's back to the same question. You know, are they better off without Chavez? And the answer is yes. As long as there is some semblance of people not going crazy and pulling almost like an Arab Spring, but a nasty, chaotic Arab Spring, for lack of a better way to describe it. And I don't think that will happen. All right, let's move on to this one. This one from the leader of the free world. Oh, who's the leader of the free world? Leader of the free world says, pardon my nickname, but this is how I identify myself. You have to get rid of people like Chavez and Ahmadinejad and the Castro brothers. They represent pure, unadulterated evil, and there's no question about it. Disguised as something else, how anyone could think that Chavez ever was a good guy, I have no clue. They're obviously not following really what's happening in a country like Venezuela. The people in Venezuela are a lot better off without him, Kate, without a doubt. I think no matter who goes in, could it really be any worse than Chavez? Yeah, don't know. Could it be worse than Chavez? Hopefully not. This creates an opening. And when there's an opening, maybe somebody decent gets a hold of the opening, gets in there and really tries to turn things around in favor of the people who have just been pummeled in that country. There were lots of problems behind the scenes with Chavez's regime. And so if Sean Penn and other Hollywood types want to worship at the Chavez altar, feel free. But to me, I say good riddance, because to me, he was not committed to improving lives. Even though Jimmy Carter said, yes, this guy was committed to improving lives, so much so that he had a stranglehold on all of the resources in an oil-rich country. How can you explain to me then that there was an amazing amount of people who were starving, who were being, you know, asked to chip in to help the government at times, and ridiculously so, there was a definite swing in one direction of money and power versus the other. So there wasn't a big middle class in Venezuela. So should Venezuelans be hopeful that there could be a big change? Yeah, they should be hopeful. It's going to be better. There's going to be a better chance that someone better than Chavez steps in. So as you can see, a lot of people had thoughts on the 58-year-old dictator who died after a two-year battle with cancer. And Hugo Chavez does leave a void, but it's a void, unlike the situation with the Pope, that's probably going to be filled a whole lot sooner. Let me leave you with this one. It was Han Solo who said, may the Force be with you.
Wants to be disease-free, full of energy, and vibrant health. Two reasons you may feel constantly tired and run down could be that your body's acid level is high and your pH level is low. How does acid enter your body? A cup of coffee, a sandwich, tap water, stress, and cell phones. Plus, your own body produces acid on a regular basis. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops alkalize the water you drink and raise your pH level. They promote more oxygen in your system, higher energy potential, and many other documented health benefits. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops is the least expensive and the best pH level product you can buy. Order AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. That's 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health with pH Drops from AlkaVision.com.